especially pray. I fear I've been set up for a fall with the words that the brother just said. I'm primed for the Lord to pull the rug out from under me.
God bless you, brother.
Show me just how weak I am, but I appreciate your encouragement, brother. I just hope I magnify the Lord and hope what I say might encourage you. I have a dream tonight that what I say tonight might change the world. Is that far-fetched?
No.
Yes.
No.
In the natural way of thinking?
Yeah.
No. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
No. If I were to say something that did change the world, it would be Him working through me. Power to change the world. Do we have such as that? I believe we do. I believe each of us does. Hold on to those thoughts. It's going to seem scattered, but if the Lord will bless, maybe it'll come together. Be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews 13:2. I believe that verse.
Yeah.
I believe angels are among us. I believe oftentimes they're unrecognizable. They must be. If they had a big A on them, we wouldn't have to be careful. With strangers, we'd know which ones were the angels. And we could shun the rest of them and just be nice with the angels. Wouldn't that be easy? What if you have to be nice to all of them? Just in case. Just in case. Let me stretch that way out. Be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained Jesus unawares. You remember Abraham? Genesis chapter 18. Three men approach him. One of them's already been introduced as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord Jehovah. Three men show up. Neither of the three are men. It turns out there's God and two angels that go on to Sodom. Abraham had no idea who he was talking to, at least for a while. When he entertained them and told Sarah to go fix them something to eat, wash their feet, he didn't know who they were. But he was dealing with God Himself that day. And when Moses was fascinated by the burning bush, it wasn't the bush that was the big deal, it was the God that was in the bush. And he didn't know that was God in the bush, he just wondered what was wrong with that bush, that it didn't burn out. But he figured out after a while that he was on holy ground.
Right.
Who do I say sent me? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he didn't know he was talking to God, at least for a while. When Joshua comes across and there's somebody, kind of a strange soldier standing there. Are you in me or in me? Are you on our side or the side of the enemy? Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. An angel didn't say that. The same God that had been in the burning bush said, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. The captain of the Lord's host that Joshua was talking to was Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And he didn't know who he was, at least for a while. When Jesus came, John told him, John the Baptist, says in your midst, he's in your midst and you don't know him. Mary came and thought he was the gardener. They didn't know who he was. Now you saying, Winfrey, that Jesus is going to be sitting here in this crowd? I won't go that far. you've been here all day and think Jesus wasn't here? He's with us.
Amen.
Should that affect my behavior?
Yes.
If I knew he was in the room, if I knew he was walking around Dawson Springs somewhere, but I didn't know which one he was, you know, I might just be nice to all of them from now on. Just in case. Could he come back and be walking around Dawson Springs? He did it before he came. I don't think he couldn't do it. I'm not saying he's going to do it. Just drop that one. I get in trouble with my speculation. But I say he is with you all the time. He promised he wouldn't leave you. Don't you believe that?
Right.
Well, if he's not going to leave you, he's with you. And that ought to change my behavior.
Amen.
If I know he's with me. If I know he's with me.
Amen.
That ought to change my behavior. That ought to change my decisions. That ought to change my reactions and my actions, my words. And when we get to that spiritual level, it should change my thoughts because he knows what they are too.
That's right.
Because he's with me all the time. If I knew he was with me, and I do, then I'd make the right choice at every moment of every day. You know, that's how we spend our days, is making choices. Those choices oftentimes seem so insignificant. But sometimes those choices could be important. Could change your life. Could change the world. What if you had the ability to change the world? What if you had incredible power and you used it for evil? That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? What if you had incredible power and did not use it for good? That'd be pretty horrible too, wouldn't it? I want to tell you something. You have incredible power. We've heard already today the fruit of the Spirit that every born-again child of God has. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You've heard it preached today that it is a character of Jesus Christ himself, and you've got it.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
What if at every decision you make all day, every day, that's what guided you in that decision?
Yes, sir.
The character of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The compassion, the love, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, the self-control, the temperance, the goodness. What if you used his character to make the decision and not my character? You might make different decisions. Oftentimes through the day, you'd make different decisions than what you made. What if you made those different decisions all day? What if one of those amounted to something? Somebody you showed the character of Jesus Christ to, and it affected them, and might affect somebody after that, and go right on down that road.
Right.
Affecting something, changing something. Because you decided at that moment to use what you've been given. You have incredible power. What if you didn't use it for good? I read a story when I was growing up. Little guy really was, grade school age at some point. Well, those aren't little guys, are they? They're pretty big guys when you get to grade school, aren't they? This story, this kid in this story had incredible power. But he was a wicked little boy. And you weren't allowed, he could read your mind, and you weren't allowed to think bad thoughts about him. But oftentimes he got distracted. He didn't always pay attention to what you were thinking. But if he was paying attention to what you were thinking and you thought something bad, there was one little boy one day rode by on his bicycle. And he thought something bad about the little boy who was a bad little boy. And that little boy picked up on it. And he had him ride right off to the edge of town. And that town, it was kind of in a place where it went right off the edge into the abyss. You just ride off the edge and you went into black nowhere. And that poor kid rode his bicycle just fast. He could pedal it into black nowhere. I hated that book. It scared me to death. I mean, incredible power to use it for evil. It's about as bad to have incredible power and not use it for good. besides the character of Christ, each one of you has special spiritual gifts.
Amen.
That gives you even greater magnificent power.
Amen.
Romans chapter 12, prophecy, ministry, teaching, encouragement, exhortation, encouragement, giving, ruling, showing mercy. That's a gift. Oh, don't say I don't have that one. You got to do it whether you have the gift or not. But if you have the gift, you can do it really good. You do it because you've got the character of Christ. But boy, when you've got the gift, you can really do it good that time. All of you have got one or two of those, maybe three or four of them. I don't know if he gives the whole list to some or not. Maybe he does. But he gives them to you. He said it. So you have incredible power just in being born again and having the character of Christ. And then you've got super gifts on top of incredible power. That sounds like somebody could change the world, doesn't it? Maybe so. I don't know. Anybody ever heard of the Good Samaritan? Of course you have. Everybody knows him. But nobody knows his name. Even non-Christians know his story.
Is that right?
He's got a good story, doesn't he? You remember his story. There was this guy laying half dead, I can't define that, in the ditch. Who walked by? The preacher and the deacon. No, that isn't what it said. Well, it is sort of what it said. The priest and the Levite. They gotta get to church, you know. They got their important things. They gotta change the world. But they walked right on by that guy. They passed him by. And then that no good Samaritan. You know him. You know the kind. The kind that don't do anything good the way we think about him. That guy from over there somewhere is different to you. That you've got no respect for at all. He's the one that stopped. And we're still telling his story 2,000 years later, aren't we? I like his story. I love his story. People who made a choice in life, and that choice made a big difference. Way down the line somewhere, maybe they knew about it, maybe they didn't. I think about four women in the lineage of Jesus Christ. There was Rebecca, the servant of Abraham, going to find a wife for Isaac. And this servant, he doesn't know where he's going or who's there. But he knows God knows. And he sets up this plan for God. And God accepts his plan. When I get there, I'm going to go to a well. And I'm going to stand there by that well. And whichever of those young, beautiful women come out and says, "Can I get you a drink?" He'll say, "Can I have a drink of water?" And she'll say, "Yeah, I'll give you a drink. And I'll also water all your camels." Let that be the one. Well, he gets there. And who knows who the first one to show up? Rebecca. And she's the one. But I doubt that she knew that. Matter of fact, I don't believe at all she knew that. Here's a stranger. Never seen him before. There he is. He said, "Could I have a drink out of your pitcher?" They didn't know about germs back then. "You're not drinking out of my pitcher, buddy." I didn't know what she said, was it? She said, "Sure." Not King James Version. That's what she said. Said, "Sure, take a drink." And he's drinking, and then she said, "How about I water all your camels?" Wonder how much a camel can drink.
A lot.
I'm not a camelite. So I don't know much about them. But I bet they can drink a lot after a long trip. And I don't know how many you have. How many times did she have to dip that pitcher down into that well and pull that rope and drag it back up and pour it in that trough? And you mean you got another one? And another one? We don't find her complaining at all. She made a choice.
Yes, right.
To help a stranger that day. And you know who she got to be for that? The mama of Jesus Christ. Well, technicality there. Mary was the mother. You know that. But she's that great, 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 great grandma of Jesus. What an honor.
What an honor.
Because she made a choice. Next generation. There's the much loved Rachel that Jacob worked 7 years for. And after 7 long years working for that pretty gal, here comes the wedding night. And he got double crossed, didn't he? By his father-in-law, his future father-in-law. By tomorrow morning he'll be his father-in-law. And he got double crossed. Because he wakes up the next morning and it's not Rachel, the one he loves. It's Leah. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. That's what the Bible says. It was Leah. It was Leah, and he said to Laban, her husband, after the wedding night, says to Laban, what is this that thou hast done to me? That's a good start to a marriage. I bet she felt great about herself, didn't she? Her self-esteem just went right to rock bottom. And you can go on and read the whole story. And it continues to talk about how he loved Rachel, but not Leah. It does say in one place loved her more than Leah, loved Rachel more than Leah, but how would you be like to be in a family where you come in a distant second all the time? You know what she did? She stuck with him. How many days did she have to stick with him before Judah, the fourth born, came along? You know who Jesus was? The line of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
Who got to be the mother of Jesus? The one that made choices day after day, after day, after day, after day. To stick with him. To stick with that man.
Right.
Some choices are hard to make some days. Rahab made a choice to hide the spies. She's in the lineage.
Yeah.
Ruth made a choice to go with Naomi. You know what Naomi said right before they start back? Don't call me Naomi anymore. That means pleasant. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. How would you like to have a bitter old woman to take care of? That's what Ruth did. She's in the lineage. So she made a choice. Entreat me not to leave thee. In order to return from following after thee.
That's right.
Lots of people made lots of choices. And those choices made a difference, didn't they?
Yeah.
From those choices came the Christ. They didn't know that was what was going to happen with that choice that day. But that's what happened with it, wasn't it? Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No, it's not.
What if Andrew hadn't chosen to go find Peter? We'd be missing some books in our Bible, I guess. I don't know what God would have done about that. I figure God could have solved it some other way, but Andrew made a choice to go find Peter. And we make choices all day, every day. You can make choices that'll change your life. And you can make choices that'll end your life. And you think I'm talking to the children, and I am. Again, I don't see any children. I see some fine-looking folks out there that I hope you're listening. But you know who else I'm talking to? Abraham was pushing 100. And Moses was 80 when he said, okay, I'll go. And if Joshua was the same age as Caleb, he was probably in his 80s, 80 to 85. We know that was Caleb's age during the time they're conquering the promised land. Joshua's probably in that range. So the sermon's for anybody that's here. You can still make a choice, old man.
Yeah.
To spend the day with your grandson.
Amen.
Who might choose to spend the day with his grandson. Who might choose to spend the day following that example with his grandson. Who might be who God's got in mind to turn this country around. About 6 decades down the road somewhere. And it all started with you spending the day with your grandson. Am I dreaming?
No.
No, I'm just telling you, when you do the right thing, I think God makes it work.
Amen.
I think He uses people like you and me to make things work.
Yeah.
I'm going to go so far as to call it collaboration. Ooh, that's not an old Baptist word, is it? I think the Bible teaches collaboration. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that's working in you to do His good will and pleasure. That's collaboration, isn't it? I'm not talking about collaboration to get to go to heaven. I'm talking about collaboration with God while you're here and the choices you make. I'm going to make this choice because Jesus is in the room.
Yes.
And He's watching me.
Yes.
You know what can happen with one choice sometimes? We've got names for such a thing. You ever heard of the domino effect? The domino effect? It's a great game. Dominoes aren't around like they were when I was a kid. You get your box, and then you go get your buddy's box, and you borrow one from the guy down the street, and you get as many boxes of dominoes as you can find. And you start setting them up, standing them up on one end. In case you don't know what a domino is, it's about that tall, about that wide, and about that thick, the best I remember. And you set one up, and then you set another one up, then you set another one up, and you stand them all up, and they're all facing the same way, and you come out of the living room, and down the hall, and through the bedroom, and back into the bathroom, and you ran out of dominoes. You're wore out, because you've been setting them up too long anyway. And then you take that last one, and you push it over. And what happens is the whole string starts falling. One knocks the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and you chase it all the way through the house, and now they're all laying down. One motion caused all that to happen. The ripple effect. We've got names for these things, folks. It happens. It's part of the world we live in. The ripple effect. What's that one? You throw a rock in the lake, and one ripple, and then another ripple, and another ripple, and another ripple from one rock. I have trouble seeing them in the lake, so I go to my bathtub, and I put about that much water in it, and I get my quarter out of my pocket, and right in the very middle, as best I can guess where middle is, I drop it. And here comes one wave. And before it gets to the side, here's another wave following it. And another following it. About the time they get to the side, and these from the side start going back, and they're running into other waves, that makes other waves. And about that time it gets to the end, they start coming back, and wow! All that from one quarter. All those ripples. The snowball effect. You start little, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, you got Frosty. The butterfly effect. You know, there's really a scientific theory that a butterfly's wing in Buffalo, Tennessee, that could start an air motion that could eventually end up a typhoon in the South Pacific. Who needs a typhoon? What's the point of that one? It's just another illustration of how one little thing can turn into something great big a long ways away and a long time down the road. One little air motion. You say, everything you've talked about, from the typhoon in the South Pacific to all those dominoes laying down, it all went down. You think that if you go to that last domino and stand it back up, they're all going to stand back up? Doesn't work that way, does it? What if God was in the program? This is a crazy illustration, but you think God couldn't stand them all back up? You think it all has to go to entropy? To amount to nothing? What if God was behind that motion you took to stand the last one back up, and they all stood up? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? You wish you had your camera out at that point, didn't you? Did you see that? What if God did something like that with some little nothing? You think nothing? You have the power. change the world. But more personally, you have the power to take a hold of your life and change your life.
Amen.
If it never amounts to anything on the other side of the world, what you do, it can make you have a sense of fulfillment about your life.
Amen.
That seems worthless some days.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Your purpose.
I'm doing this right here, Jesus, because you're watching. And if you take and make something out of it, praise your name. If you don't, I still did it for you. You know, the Bible tells us they're watching. It really does. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Let your conversation, that's your total lifestyle, your manner of living, how you make your choices, what you do with your life. Let your conversation be honest among the Gentiles. The world. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to pick on you. And they're going to make fun of you. Let me go read that. 1 Peter 2 and 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify your Father in the day of visitation. That's a powerful verse. Whatever's going on in your life today, you make a choice that I'll stop and help this guy like the Samaritan did. I'll water the camels like Rebecca did. I'll step out above and beyond in the name of Jesus Christ and do something. And somebody's watching and somebody says, "You're a fool. You're going to water all those camels? You're going to spend your money to put that guy up till he gets better?" Yeah, I think I will. And they'll look like at you like you're a nutcase, and then the world sends you out. But they're going to behold your good works. The Bible says so. And in the day of visitation, you reckon that might be when they get born again, when God moves upon them? And they say, "You know, that guy had something that I look around now and I'm having this strange feeling, and I'd like to know more about the Jesus he knows about."
Amen.
And in the day of visitation, he comes to me. My father in the ministry one time, he was a vice president, in addition to preaching, he was a vice president of a power company. Big job. And he went to a lot of big meetings. And he was at a big meeting one time, and a fella had gone with him. And this fellow that had gone with him, the meetings were over, and he went to the bar, came back to the room, and he'd had enough to drink that he was losing his inhibitions, and he got talkative. And he says to Travis, "I've been watching you." "Oh yeah, you've been watching me?" "I've been watching you to see if there really is anything to this Christianity." And when Travis tells that story, about then he comes to tears. Now, Travis is as outstanding a person as I've ever known in my life. I'm sure this man hadn't ever seen Travis do anything extremely bad. But when you work with a guy all the time, I guess there's days when you made the wrong choice every once in a while and sort of lost your cool in the situation. I don't know what had happened. But when that man told Travis, "I've been watching you to see if there's anything to Christianity,"
right,
Travis started crying. And he said to the Lord, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me he was watching me?" And then Travis preached that verse, and he said, "He did tell me he was watching.
Yeah.
I just hadn't read it."
Yeah.
People, somebody's watching. Every choice you make,
yeah.
Every time you smile at somebody, every time you reach out a hand to help, somebody's watching. You know how Jesus said, that we, the sheep, would be recognized? How do you recognize the Good Samaritan? Well, he's the one that stopped and helped. How do you recognize the sheep? I was hungry, and you fed me. That's a choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
If Jesus was watching, I'd be sure to do that. But if he's not watching, that guy could do better. He's plenty able to get a job, you know. He's a bigger guy than me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. That's what Rebecca did. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. That requires a lot of paperwork, folks. And then it's a scary thing when that door shuts behind you. That's the choice somebody made that Jesus... Whoever made that choice made the book. And we're still talking about him. The Good Samaritan made a choice that made the book that we're still talking about him.
That's right.
You make choices all day, every day. You have the power to lift yourself up from the nothingness of your world and have a meaning for your life. You have the power, perhaps, with the power of God, to work in collaboration with him. And him doing the most of it by his grace, but you making a choice. And who knows but what something the other side of the world 100 years from now could happen from a choice you made today. You'll never know it. But you were a part of it. That makes you worth something. That shows you the potential you have, a hope. That you'll leave here knowing you have the choice to change the world and make choices that the Christ who's watching you would approve of. Mm-hmm.